Please turn in your Bibles to the letter of 1 John, the letter of 1 John, just a few short pages before the last book in the New Testament, Revelation. We've been in the letter of 1 John for several weeks now, and we're in chapter 2 and looking at verses 15 to 17. Chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. Let's pray together. Our dear Father in heaven, we come before you thanking you that you have spoken to us in your word. Lord, there is no other way we can hear directly from you except from your word. And I pray, O Lord, that you would speak to our hearts even this morning. And I pray, as the song was just played, that all that would thrill our hearts would be Jesus, and that he would be more than life to us. Lord, we are surrounded by the world and its desires that call out to us to live according to our sinful pleasures, to live according to our hearts. But, O Lord, capture our hearts and help us live according to your will and your desires for us. Open our eyes this morning so that we can see eternity, the danger of loving the world and the path toward hell, and that we see the delight of serving Jesus Christ and the amazing inheritance of heaven. So lift our eyes off physical things, off the cares of this world, and help us to see Jesus Christ. Help us to see eternity and what's at stake for each and every one of our souls. Lord, thank you that you always work through your word, and so I pray that you would work even this morning. I pray that you would bring repentance for those who are living in sin. I pray that you bring salvation for those who do not know you. And I pray that you would encourage the weary Christian today. Remind us of how amazing and great you are. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Let me read our text for today, 1 John 2, 15 to 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Our text says today, do not love the world. Christians are commanded to avoid what is often called worldliness. But what is worldliness? What is loving the world? It is common when we hear, do not love the world, to think of a list of things that we can't not do and a list of things that we can do. If we avoid the things on the do not list, then we are not worldly. Each person has their lists. Let's confess it. We each have our list of what we will not do and what we will do. And we think that whoever has the longest do not list must be the least worldly Christian, the least worldly person, because we do not do certain things. For example, 50 years ago, some Christians wouldn't have been caught dead in a movie theater. Today, some Christians would be embarrassed to admit to their friends they actually have standards about what they watch and will not watch on TV. So our understanding of worldliness is conditioned by the culture in which we live. Now, we look at the Bible. Are there things that we should do and should not do? Absolutely. Absolutely. We should obey the commands that God has given us. Obeying the commands of God is our best expression of love that we have for him. That's what John has said in chapter 2. Our love for God reaches its maturity when we obey his commands. But John goes beyond lists of do and do not when he talks about worldliness. And he gets to the heart of worldliness, which is always good. get to the heart of the matter. And as we look at these three verses today, I want to do two things today. The first is to expose the dangers of loving the world, because loving the world will lead you to hell, so it's dangerous. Secondly, I want to set forth the delight of doing God's will, to set forth the delight of doing God's will. I want you to walk away from this text. I want you to go home today absolutely terrified of loving the world and absolutely delighted to do God's will. And that's what this text is supposed to do in our life. So first, do not love the world. If we're supposed to not love the world, we should maybe figure out what the world means, shouldn't we? What is meant by the word world? In the Bible, it can mean the physical planet on which we live. It can mean the people in the world, such as John 3:16, God so loved the world, that's all the people in the world. But here in our text, world refers to the world system that is ruled by Satan. 1 John 5:19 says, "We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one," which means the devil. Let me give you a definition of the world, since we're not supposed to love it. The world is the values and attitudes of the world that are opposed to God. The world is the values and attitudes of the world that are opposed to God. So it's not saying don't love the entire globe and everything that's on it. It's the values and the attitudes of the world system, if you will. In our passage, the world is opposed to God. So the things on this planet, values, attitudes, things that are opposed to our Father in heaven. John says, God is light, but the world is darkness. So they're opposed to one another. So it makes sense for John to say, well, you shouldn't love things that are opposed to God. So it's easy to say, do not love the world. We can say that. But what does the love of the world look like? If we're not supposed to love the world, what does that look like? Verse 16 defines it three ways. The lust or desire of the flesh, the desire of humanity, if you will, our physical human desires, the lust or the desire of the eyes, what we see, and the pride of life, or the pride or boasting of what we have, our possessions. And we look at this world, this word called lust or desire. It means over desire. It is inordinate, sinful desire. So it's fine to desire to eat a donut. But eating 2 dozen donuts is over desire. That's gluttony. So this word for desire is not necessarily bad. A simple desire is our desires that have been twisted towards sin. This word for the desires of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, are general human desires. Desires that are sinful and opposed to God. And this desire is defined by the next two. The desire of the eyes is wanting what you should not have, is wanting what you do not and should not have. So that's the lust of the eyes. We see things and we really, really want them. The Bible calls this coveting. Then thirdly, the pride of life or pride of possessions is the idea of boasting in the things you do have. So to boil it down, loving the world is wanting what you do not and should not have, and once you have it, worshiping it and bragging about it. And this text is not very far, actually describes perfectly the world in which we live. We have people wanting what they do not have. We have people wanting what they should not have. And once they have it, they're all excited about their stuff. Let's get specific, because the Bible applies to our lives today. Some examples of what loving the world looks like. The desires that we have. For example, you spend most of your waking moments thinking of what you're going to eat, eating it, and then talking about what you ate. You love food, not the Father. You can't wait to get home from work so you can watch TV or surf the internet. You'd rather indulge in the mind-numbing relief that technology brings than serve God or other people. All you think about is sex. You can't stop looking at pornography. You use your time and your resources to worship the God of sex instead of worshiping the God of the universe. Your main goal in life is to succeed in your career and make money at your job. Everything comes second in relation to this goal. You boast about your accomplishments and your promotions at work. Or you plan and save and dream about retirement so you can spend all day doing whatever you want to do. Those are just a few examples of sinful desires out of control in our lives. If you love the things of this world, you do not have the love of the Father. In other words, you do not love God. If you love the world, you do not love the Father. Our text says this: it's not worth it to love the world. It is absolutely not worth it to love the things in this world. Today, we think humanity is progressing. We're going to end war, cure cancer, and colonize Mars. We think we're going to go somewhere. Not so. Even though some technology is advancing, this world has an expiration date. We're not sure when it is. God knows. It's like that bag of lettuce in your fridge. There's a few short days between a side salad and a brown bag of mush. Our world is going to pass away. Compared with eternity, we are only on this earth a few seconds, and this world is only around a few short days. So what's the Christian response to this? Don't love the world? Clearly, we need to sell all of our stuff, move on a high mountain, read our Bibles, and eat army rations all day. Does that sound like a good idea? Hey, there's a group of people early on in church history that tried this. They were called the ascetics. And they would remain single and deprive themselves of any physical pleasure imaginable. There was one guy that lived for 3 years on top of a 30-foot pole. Just because he was denying himself and not being worldly. The problem with that, what is the problem with that? You take your heart with you. You take your sinful desires with you wherever you go. So you try to get rid of all your stuff, but your sin will follow you because it's in your heart. God does not want us to toss out the things of this world. He tells us not to love it, not to follow its values, not to model its attitudes. The problem is not just with the world, but it's with our hearts. We can leave physical possessions behind, but we still have sin in our heart. We can throw out our technology, but we cannot rid ourselves of our sinful desires. They follow us around wherever we go. Think about this a little bit in perspective of eternity. Our problem is not that we desire too much out of this world. The problem is that we desire too little. Not of this world, but in general. We desire too little. When we desire the world, that's a really small thing. We were made for something more. Our desires of our hearts are misplaced. We desire the wrong thing. This is a quote from C.S. Lewis, a British writer. And I'll probably insert it in a sermon about every 6 months or so because it's just a good one. He says, "It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak." We are half-hearted creatures fooling around with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. So if you're loving the world, that is a far cry from the joy that you could have forever with God. God wants you to know today that there is something incredibly better than loving this world. It is loving the Father and doing His will. And you can do that forever. Forever. So do not love the world. What's the contrast? Delight in doing God's will. Delight in doing God's will. The opposite of loving the world is loving the Father. The opposite of desiring the things of this world is desiring to do God's will. And this idea of doing God's will goes back to chapter 2, when John commands us to obey God's commands. Verse 3 of chapter 2 says this, "And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments." So do you know God? Well, do you obey his word? Verse 5 of chapter 2. "Whoever keeps his," God's word, "in him truly the love of God is perfected." This means that if you really love God, it will show itself in obeying his word, his commandments. Our love for God is best shown not by our feelings, but by our obedience to his commands, or doing his will. What is his commandment? We looked at this, I think, last week. What is the commandment that God has given us? It's very simple. It says in chapter 3 of 1 John, "Trust in Jesus and love fellow Christians." So a faith in Jesus Christ that expresses itself in love for others. The command is to believe in Jesus Christ and to love our fellow Christians. This is very important. You can only love God or the world. Not both. The Father and the world are in opposition. If your heart loves one, it cannot love the other. Your heart, God has made you to worship one thing. Your heart can only point one direction, if you will. If it's pointed at the world, it's not pointed toward God. It's like a hunter in the woods with a deer to the east and a deer to the west. If he shoots one, the other's gone. Jesus says this in Matthew 6, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other." It's interesting how Jesus ends this verse. You cannot serve God and what? Money. He knows our hearts. The love of money is not a new thing. You can only serve one master. If you look at our three verses here, it talks about loving the Father. Loving the Father. Why does he talk about loving the Father? Well, John is writing to Christians, to people who are children of God. People who have God as their Father delight to do their Father's will. So this doing our Father's will is in the context of a relationship. The context of a relationship. We don't do God's will to establish a relationship with God. We do God's will because we already have a relationship with him. True Christians have been born into God's family and do their Father's will. If you don't do God's will, you don't belong to his family. 1 John 3:10. "But by this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother." If you are not doing God's will, you are not God's child. If doing God's will is slavish, if it's boring to you, examine your heart and ask, "Am I truly a child of God?" 1 John 5:3. "For this is love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome." They're not boring. They're not heavy. So if you're a child of God, God's commands will grow and keep on being a delight of your heart. This is a good question for us to ask. Are you a child of God? We can see if we do our Father's will. The Gospel of John says this, "But as many as received him," Jesus, "to them he gave the power to become sons of God, children of God, even to them that believe in his name." The Bible is clear. You must believe on Jesus Christ to become a child of God. So as we look at doing God's will, as we look at the commands of God, Christians obey God's will, God's word. Christians do God's will in context of a relationship with God as their Father. Not God as their judge, not trying to earn God's favor because we are children. Let's revisit those examples that I gave you of the desires of our heart. Those examples of loving the world. How do we handle the desires of this world as Christians? How do we live in this world in submission to our Father? Well, here they are again. Instead of loving food more than God, we understand that food is God's good gift to be enjoyed with thanksgiving. It is also given to us as a means of energy so we can do the Father's will. Instead of numbing your mind on TV or the internet, use technology as a means to encourage your family and your fellow Christians. Use the internet for the encouragement of the saints and the spread of the gospel. Instead of using sex for self-fulfillment, married couples should use it as a way to serve one another and ward off temptation. The unmarried person should guard themselves from sexual sin in order to please their Father in heaven. Instead of using your career for self-advancement and self-fulfillment, use it as a tool to provide for your family, support your local church and foreign missions, and do good for others. Instead of viewing retirement as a time to focus on yourself and your pleasure, view it as a reassignment in your service for the King. See, folks, the things in this world, when desired for themselves, are awful, terrible gods. The desires of our hearts weren't meant to terminate here on this world. Our hearts are meant to worship Jesus Christ. Christians take the things in this world and they use them to do God's will. They're not evil in and of themselves. But when they're worshipped, they are deadly. What marks us off from the world is that we use the things in this world to do God's will. And when we seek the things of this world, when you think about that roast beef in the crock pot at home right now, that's fine. But we thank God for it. We look past the food. We look past the pleasure to our Father who gave it to us as a good gift. So the world that God created is not evil. Desiring it for itself, deadly. So, conclusion. What will you choose? Will you love the things of this world? You'll get 70 years if you're fortunate. Maybe even 80 or 90 years. Then it's done. It's over. That's all you get. That's the best you'll ever have if you love this world. If you love the Father and not this world, this is the worst you'll ever get because it's going to get so much better. Listen to Jesus' words in Luke chapter 9. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? The Bible is crystal clear. You must give up everything to follow Jesus. If you turn your back on this world, you turn your back on your sin and the pleasures that sin offers, and follow Jesus Christ, you will live forever. I love what Jesus says in Luke 12. He gives a story of what happens when we love the things of this world. Jesus says, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. That's what we've been talking about, desiring things of this world. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And he told them a parable, a story, saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Let's boil that all down into one sentence. C.S. Lewis, again, aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you'll get neither. Aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you get neither. Dear friends, the simple reality is this. If you love the world, you are on the path to hell where eternal punishment awaits you. If you love the Father and do his will, you are on the path to eternal joy. You will live forever, forever. This life might seem really long. The decades may seem forever. But life is a blip, and it's gone. But the one who does God's will lives forever. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for your word that is clear about the dangers of the world and the joy that is offered for the children of God. Lord, I pray that you would take this word that was spoken and work in our hearts. Help us to see the deadly danger of loving the things in this world. Help us to see the delight there is in doing your will forever with you. I pray that you would work in our hearts, weed out sinful desires, and implant the desires to do your will. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't treat the Christian life as a list of things to do and not do, but we would treat it as a relationship with a Father, a loving Heavenly Father who desires for his children to do his will. And I pray that we would delight to do the will of our Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.